So we're up to page either Resh Pei Zayin or Resh Samach Tes. So on Resh Pei Zayin, we're talking about Nekudas Tovas as a very important part of the Mishpat, because in order to be honest, which is the tachlis of this get together with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, in order to be honest, one has to speak from a place of who he is. And who we are as Jews is not chas v'shalom evil. It's not chas v'shalom bad, it's not chas v'shalom evil. We are essentially holy people that make mistakes. And there's a difference between somebody who is an ish kaddish, who is making a mistake, as opposed to someone who's a mussar, a mu'vil, a rasha, kaifa, whatever it is, all those horrible titles. That's not who we are. So in order to be honest, we have to talk honestly about our faults, which we've been talking about in the earlier prakim of Mishpat, of a cheshbon nefesh, making a cheshbon nefesh. We have to make a cheshbon nefesh. That's the courtroom that we put ourselves into when we come to his bardas. We judge ourselves and we talk to Hashem about our faults, our mistakes. But at the same time, we can't, God forbid, walk out without the Nekudas Tovas, because then we're not really honest about who we are. Because we're honestly not bad people. We're just people with faults. We're not bad people. And if a person walks out, we'll see in a few minutes from Rabbi Yitzchak Bender, if you walk out from his Bardus, feeling that you're, God forbid, a Rasha, then you have failed in his Bardus, and you're most likely going to cause a lot of other people to be hurt as well. So let's learn on the bottom of page Resh Pei Zayin, or on Resh Pei Tes, Gamim HaNekuda Ketana Ma'od. The person is looking for the when a person is looking for the Nekuda Ketana, even if it's Nekuda Ketana Ma'od, even if it's something which appears to be something very minor in yourself that's good, I feel Hashem B'Kum Va'aseh. Even if it's something that you haven't necessarily done, something that you could think of that's gevaldi, but you know within yourself, even if b'shev al ta'aseh, meaning that there are things that you would do, but you don't do because of your shamayim. Rabbi Yonah says that in Shari Tshuva, that every time that a person is thinking about doing something that he shouldn't do, and feels a desire to do something that he or she shouldn't do, and you hold yourself back, not because you're afraid of getting caught. You hold yourself back because there's a Borei Olam, because there's a creator, and you don't want to disappoint Hashem Isbar. You mekayim the mitzvah to say of Hashem lekechatir. You mekayim the mitzvah of being of Yerushalayim. That's no small thing. We don't usually give ourselves much credit for that, because there are lots of things that we would do, but we don't do them because of Yashamayim. Whether it comes to money things, whether it comes to other taivas, we don't do these things, but we don't keep a cheshbon of this, all the things that I didn't do, that I wanted. We really just, we take that for granted, that there are things that I stay away from, but we don't pay attention to the challenges and to the struggles that we have to stay away from those things. The emes is that Rabbeinu Yonah is saying is that every single time you feel like doing something that's against the Torah, and you hold yourself back because you're a yid, that's a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah. It's a gevaldig thing. It's kilu you did a mitzvah, right? I mean, you did do a mitzvah. You're yesh shamayim. You're yesh shamayim. I saw in the Sefer Malchus Shleimer from the Hern Stipler from Denver, Sefer South Coast of Rocket. I saw that he has this one sentence, and he says that Yerushalayim doesn't mean being nervous, being afraid, being on edge. Yerushalayim means making a conscious decision not to do something against the will of Hashem. That's what it is. Making a hachlata not to do this because it's against Hashem's will. That's Yirat Shamayim. Many people think that Yirat Shamayim means that you're nervous, you're afraid. He says that, no, Yiras Shamayim means making a hachlota. I don't remember the exact sentence, but it's one sentence. But it goes something like this. It means to make the hachlota, to decide, I'm not going to do this because Hashem doesn't want me to do it. Sounds simple, right? That's Yiras Shamayim. That's what it means to be Yiras Shamayim. You know, making myself sick over this. I'm worried about this. I'm nervous about this. I pictures of Gehenna and the Malach HaMavis, all of that stuff. It means I make a hachlata not to do this because Hashem doesn't want me to do it. That's a big thing. That's Yiras Shamayim. So that might seem to be to a person to be a nekuda ktana ma'od. It's a small nekuda. Because I didn't do anything. I just didn't do something. But you have to know. This is there's something else. Even when a person, let's say, has a desire to do something in Avodas Hashem, in learning, to finish something or to accomplish something in learning, or to do a certain mitzvah, and the person has not succeeded or is not right now able to do that. But he gives a krechts. By Rabbi Nachman and Anocha, krechts is a big thing. He gives a krechts. A krechts meaning, it doesn't mean something that's not honest. It's an honest krechts. An honest krechts that I want to do this. I just am not able to right now, right? Didn't succeed in doing this right now. Or if God forbid, Chalila, person doesn't have air. Chasus Shalom. Of course, we have to do tshuva, not to do it again. But if after the Aveira, a person also gives a krechs, that's also in the Kuda time. It doesn't put you into the Gedali Yisrael category, you understand. But it's in the Kuda time. Because it hurts you. You have tsar that you did this. Let's say you said something about somebody that you shouldn't have said. And afterwards you, all right, why did I say that? That's also a kudat toiv. Even though you failed because you said something bad. So that was a failure. But the fact that it hurts you is also a kudat toiv. It doesn't mean that you don't have to fix it. You have to fix it. Don't say it again. Whatever. Whatever the tshuva that's necessary. But the fact that you feel bad about it is significant. Tsar or anocha, it bothers you. Charata, or you feel a regret. You feel a sense of remorse that you did that or that you said that. Ki nekuda nifla, it's a gevaldige nekuda. From the shehimara, what's so important about that? Again, we tend to look at that as being that moment of tsar or regret or a krechs. We tend to look at that as being things. You messed up, so that you're feeling bad about it. No, so we look at that as being something which is insignificant, but that's wrong. It's very significant, and the reason that it's so significant is what he says right now. Is what we've been learning. But neshihimara shehaani haamiti eino oses amaisa maroim haelo. Remember, we spoke a few weeks ago about in Chayshem Mishpat and. When it comes to possession of property and so on, that at least if a person makes a mechal, you remember we spoke about that. At least if you protest, if you're protesting, it means that you're saying that no, Bemis, I have bailus over this house. That guy's trying to take my property. That guy's trying to move into my house. So if you make a mechal, it means that you're claiming to have bailus over this. That's what we spoke about. You're protesting. Somebody, you heard, you're b'mdina sayom, right? You're someplace far away. And you heard that there's some guy that moved into your house, or some guy's in your swimming pool or something. And if you don't say anything about it, and time goes by, so then it means that that's not really your place. But if it really is your place, that's what the Gemara is telling us. If it really is your place, then you protest. There's some guy in my pool. There's some guy that's living in my house. Make him a chah. So even though it might seem to us to be very insignificant, that after we make a mistake, that we feel some remorse or some regret, you feel, or you give a krechs because it bothers you. So sof kol sof, you're claiming bailus over your true self. And you're saying that I don't want to be the person that says those nasty things. I don't want to be the person that looked at that thing that I shouldn't have looked at. I don't want to be that person. But if you just do things and you don't stop, and there's no feeling of tsar, there's no krechs, there's not even the tiniest little bit of regret or remorse, so then you're allowing the other side to take bailus over who you are. And you're beginning to, in a subtle way, you're beginning to identify with Ra. That's bad. We always have to fight against Ra. Ideally, we fight against Ra by not doing the other. That's the best thing. To fight against Ra and not to do it. Not to do the other. Sometimes, unfortunately, on that level, we lose. And we do something we shouldn't have done. But the fight continues. A lot of people think that when you do the wrong thing, that's the end of the fight. That's a mistake. When you do the wrong thing, the fight has to continue. How does it continue? Tshuva, tsar, anocha. Because that is a fight to reclaim yourself, or not to give up yourself. The main fear that we see that the Chachamim have is the aver gereves aver, right? One aver leads to another aver, because there's a very strong possibility of that happening because the person is not in the fight anymore. So once he leaves the fight, once he's not in the fight, and he doesn't allow himself to feel any regret or remorse for what happened, so then what's to stop him from doing this aver again? He's just on a roll. But if the person feels tsar, he feels regret, that's a madrega of tshuva. But the ikir is that he's saying that I don't want to be that person. I don't identify with the person that did that or that said that or looked at that. I don't identify with that person. I don't want to be that person. And that's important. That's very important. And that's nekuda neflor. Neshimarisha ha'ani ha'amiti. Because that demonstrates that the ha'ani ha'amiti, that the true I, the true self, eino eises ha'maisim ha'roim ha'elu. I'm separating myself from that person. Now, we're not talking about someone who's deluding himself. Sincerely separating himself. I once mentioned to you a couple of, maybe a year or two ago, I mentioned to you a teaching from Rabbi Nosson's Chusa Yelena. Rabbi Nosson was talking about with Esther Malka. One of the most painful things that we try not to think about when we're putting away all the stuff from Purim is that it might be nice for all of us, because Purim was a lot of fun and I made a good time. There's only one person for whom Purim didn't have such a great ending, and that's Esther Malka, right? Purim wasn't so great for Esther Malka, because she ended up with Achashverosh. She ended up spending her life with this guy. How? That's not for now. But she ended up in such. So Purim is the nicest yontiv except for Esther Malka. So there's a very strange medrash that says that Esther Malka didn't actually live with Achashverosh. She wasn't with Achashverosh. She sent a shade. She sent a shade, whatever that means, some kind of a being that looked like Esther, spoke like Esther, but wasn't really her. She was really saying Tillim. He was back at home, saying Tillim or knitting, whatever nice Jewish woman I've always done. She was just like a regular nice Jewish woman. But I hope that wasn't demeaning. Was that demeaning or something? Like, am I in violation? I'm sorry. My mother, she used to be well. She used to always knit sciences. That's all. So my wife used to also knit, actually. So she was just at home, like cleaning the kitchen. Is that all right? I'm getting. So She was just being a regular nice girl. So, but she sent the shade. They asked the Maisa. We also send shade them. You ever send a shade for doing a veyer? You go first. You ever send your shade to
Mara?
Huh?
The stories are true about the Mara.
Oh, the morale was you mean to send the Gailam.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I thought.
When I did something dumb, my father used to call me a Gailam. That was the word in the house. Except my father said that my Gailam knows how to talk. The morale's Gailam couldn't talk. My father said, I made a Gailam that knows how to talk. Yeah. So what does that mean? So Rav Nosson says a Gevaldige thing. That's the live of the Achashverus. They had a kid. His name is Dayavish. We know. It's not like she didn't live with him. She lived with him. So what does it mean? What does it mean that she sent the shade? What does that mean? So Nelson said that she never identified herself as that person who was living with him. She never, ever was comfortable in that place. She knew that she had to do it, however, not going into the sugi of Karka Olam and places and Ksubis and whatever. She knew that she had to do that. Save Laman, Hashem, Laman Yisrael, Mashiach, whatever it was. We can't do such things. Whatever that was, happened. She knew that she had to. She didn't feel good about it. She was constantly practicing in the place of Tzai. So when Rav Nosson says that when she sent the shade, it doesn't mean that there was some demon or mysterious alter being or something, a robot. No, as Tamaka, she lived with Achashverosh, but she knew that all that time, that's not who she was. She never came to identify herself with this person. She never came to identify herself with that person. And if Achashverosh would have been the kind of person who wasn't so busy all the time with other people, he might have stopped to look at her and say, "Are you unhappy about something?" I don't have ever asked for that. Is there something that I do that makes you unhappy? It wasn't her. It was a low ani. I never, ever in my life spent a minute with a rosh, a shaita, a tipus like you. I never spent a moment with you. You never touched me. I never touched you in my life. And Messiah says that they did. She did. But she was saying, I never did. I never did that. It's very important. Again, I'm not talking about being delusional. Being an emistic person and detaching oneself, separating oneself. I never did that. That's what Nelson explains. I say I did that. I was never invested in this ugly situation. I'm detached from it. I'm separated from it. I had to do it, but it's not me. And when a person feels regret after that bad word or looking at something, Person gives a krech, there's an anacha, a person has some charata, it's making that statement that zelo ani, it's not me. And that's very important. So nefila, nichshol, you either. Yeah, what happened was a nefila. It was a nefila, you fell. It was a nichshol, you failed, it was a yirida. Avaloy Hamahus Ha'amitis. What took place with this Avera was an Afila, was a Michshel, was a Yerida. Again, that is an excuse, God forbid, to do it again. This is a way out of doing it again. This is a way of doing Shuv. Avaloy Hamahus Ha'amitis. I never ever lost my true Mahus. And that's why, no matter what I've done in my life, this moment, I could change. Because changing does not mean to become a different person. Changing means to restore the original person that I was created. Well, I'm created, I'm restoring. It's not changing, it's a restoration. It's not a transformation. Tshuva is to return. It's a restoration. It's not changing, it's restoring. It's coming back to something. Kfisha Kren is Bar La'el, we're on the bottom of Resh Pei Zayin in this edition. This part of his bordas, looking for Nakudas Tovus. And the point of looking for Nakudas Tovus is to remind yourself who you really are. You really are those Nekudas Tavus. The Breslov of Esfarim talk also about, and I've mentioned this many times over the years, the whole Inyan by Chanukah of Rabban Biad Ma'atim. Now there was a small little army of Jews, and they were able to defeat whole Malthus of Yavin. But on a deeper level, that means for each and every one of us, a person looks at his life, and when he looks at his life, it seems to him that there are many, 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 many bad things about himself, and there's only a little bit of a nakuda, a little bit of a nakuda type. So how's it possible? How's it possible to win? How's it possible for that little thing about yourself that's good and that's pure, like the Pach Shemen of the oil, how's it possible for that to defeat the whole Malchus of Yavin, which you look at your life and you see all the Aveiros and all the mistakes, how's it possible to win? So the Inyan of Chanukah is Rabban Biyad Ma'at. That because the Ma'at, Tov, that little bit of Tov inside of you is the Etzem, who you are, it's the Mahus. Mahus always wins over something that's not Mahus. That's a klal. In all of Torah, and all of Halacha, the Maral speaks about that a lot. Mahus will always, Etzem always defeats Mikra, ultimately. That's the Lashon of the Maral. Something that's be'etzem, the Etzem, something that's the Etzem, the essence, will eventually must defeat that which is a Mikra. Mikra means it happened. What do you mean? You look at yourself and you say, I go to work 6 days of the week, and I have one day Shabbos. So what's the Rabbim? The Rabbim is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. What's the Ma'atim? The Ma'atim is Shabbos. Right? So the big question in our lives is, are we Vachid the Gemenshin or are we Shabbos the Gemenshin? Who am I? Am I the person that I am during the week? Or am I the person that I am on Shabbos? Mathematically, it's the ratio is very obvious. There's 6 days of the week and there's one day of Shabbos. There's one day, mikveh, tefillah, Torah, spending time with the family. 6 days, it's not like that. So the mathematical equation here is that you're losing miserably to the Yevanim, to the Greeks. But the Nes of Chanukah means, Rabban Biyad Ma'atim, means that because the ma'at is the essence, since the ma'at is the etzem, the 6 days of the week are days where you're out of your element, where you're out of character. If, God forbid, you behave on Shabbos the same way you do during the 6 days of the week, that's a big problem. But the inyan of Shabbos is that every week Hashem Yisbarach gives us an opportunity to come back to the etzem, to come back to the etzem, the mahus. Shabbos is the mahus of who we are. When Mashiach comes, will be Yom Shekul Shabbos Nufin Lechayla. Means that we'll always be who we were created to be. That's what when Mashiach comes. Yom Shekul Shabbos Nufin Lechayla. Right now, the equation is 6 against 1. 6 Yevanim, 1 Jew. Jews have been known in history to be able to overcome large numbers. And the koach of that is because the etzem of a Jew is Kodesh V'tar. The etzem of a Jew is pure. And therefore, the pure is the, since that's the etzem, it defeats that which is a mikra. The impure, Yevani side of us is a mikra. It's not nice. We're not proud of it. We're embarrassed. We agonize over it, but that's not the etzem of Yevani. That's why when we do a mitzvah, we feel good. When we do an aveir, we feel bad. No. But if you don't feel anything wrong with the aveir, that's already it. That's a very, very bad sign. That's low line of a very, very bad sign. That's why it's so important to recognize the significance of even a krechts, even an anocha, even a moment of bad feelings or regret. It's very chashuv. It's very chashuv because it's fighting the milchama. After you lost the battle, you're still if you lost that particular skirmish, you're still in the battle. That's what's important. This Esek, looking for the Nekudas Tavus and understanding that the Nekudas Tavus are the Emes Amitis. That's truly who I am, the Nekudas Tavus. Gairemes lahafides adam, that causes, that enables the person to separate es ha'ani ha'amiti shelo, to make a separation, a distinction between his true self, me'amaisim ha'roim she'osa, and the bad things that he's done. Ad she'bekorach zeh, and if the person keeps on working on this, again, not deluding himself, keeps on working on it, and thinking about it, and davening about it, yuchal lebesayif lihiparid mehem, ultimately, you're going to get back to the etzem, and you'll be able to get away from the mikra. You'll be able to leave that world of the mikra, and you'll be able to return to the etzem of who you are. That's why it's so important to always go over the nekudas taivas, even the tiniest little nekudas taivas. And you should do that, those of you who are fortunate to have children, grandchildren, you should do that all the time with your kids and with your grandchildren. To have them talk about their nekudas taivas. To ask them about their nekudas taivas all the time. Because and then they'll say, well, I can't think of it. And you have to make it clear to them, means that even the tiniest thing that you think is the least significant thing, even that you wanted to do something that in class that would have made your mother unhappy, or you, even the tiniest little thing and you held back, it's gewaltigirni. It's gewaltigirni. Bevadish etzarech, page reish, page chesnes. Bevadish etzarech liyazar lesrache kimetachve akeshes mikol ra. Obviously, we have to do our best to stay very far away from all ra. That's just an expression of how far the arrow shoots. We have to do tshuva right away. If anything we've done that's wrong, we have to do tshuva. But there's a difference like between heaven and earth. There's a difference between a person who is just surrendered to evil, surrendered to bad, identifies himself as being a bad person that just has surrendered to it and says, no, what am I going to do? That's who I am. That's who I am. Maybe another point in life will be different, but that's who I am. And somebody who is neufel, who has slipped and fallen into the dirt. The same way there's a difference in a chazer and a human being. The chazer lives in dirt. And the chazer enjoys the dirt. The chazer bathes in the dirt. That's its natural habitat. A human being gets dirty and cleans himself off. That's not who he is. There's a huge difference between a person who's mechapei sesara, that's living like a chazer, God forbid, and mishnoifel by the person who fell into it. Again, falling in doesn't mean you don't take responsibility. You take responsibility. But it's not who you are. Yistaklis al ha'odam ha'im hu v'hara sh'osachad ha'im olo. When a person looks at himself, or you look at someone else that you know, and you ask this question, is the ra that this person has done, the aveir that this person has done, is it one with who that person is? Is that the person or not? Yesh koach begilui ha'nekuda ha'toivah la'harfid es adam atzmo. Es ani amitish lo. Here's where the nekuda ha'toivah is so important to make this separation between what the person has done and who the person is. Me'amaisim sh'osah. Mechaberes es adam la'Hashem esbar. And this connects the person to Hashem esbar. Hasherish amiti shel nishmaso, that which is the true sherish of the neshama, of the soul. Lachain, therefore, his bodus ruya, therefore proper his bodus, is usha besoch kol hara v'chayshach, is whatever ra and choshech that you're living through. Chadam oisek bechipus umetzias nakudas taivas, the person is looking, searching for the nekudas taivas, not just for the chametz. Now everybody's looking for chametz. We're all trying to find anything that's bad, but to look for the nekudas taivas. The ikur is to be a person that's a mechapes. The word chipus is the same letters as the word chofesh, which means chayus, which means to be free. That's where the whole union of Pesach begins with searching, with looking. Chipus. Chipus is the key to chofesh, to being free. A person lives a life without awareness, without searching, without looking for the good and the bad, the chametz and the matzah in one's life. A person is not a mechapes, then he can't be free. So the whole mesachta begins with Olah Ba'asa, the mesachta begins with Bdikas Chametz. Bikinus Chametz, Lahaneh, which means Ne'er Hashem, Nish Masadim, to look for the Chametz, to try to find what's wrong, but it means to find what's good, find what's wrong, to separate between the Chametz and the Matzah. And that's how we begin the Manishtan. B'chol HaLaylas, all is, Anochim Chametz HaMatzah, Laylas is it. Why is HaLaylas HaMatzah? To make that period between between the things that I've done wrong, I have chametz in my life, but I'm but the emes is I'm kulei matzah. The etzim of who I am is I'm matzah. There's chametz. I have to get rid of the chametz. I have to burn it. Try to find the chametz and to get rid of it. But who I am, I'm matzah. So then after Pesach, a person can have chametz and matzah in the house and doesn't get mixed up. But we have to have at least this one time during the year where we make that distinction and we say clearly, this is chametz and this is matzah. This is chametz and this is Pesach. This is chayshach and this is or. The truth is we have that every Shabbos, but it's much more powerful, Pesach, when it's clarified, and that's the inyan of bedikas chametz and burning the chametz. When you burn the chametz, it's like you're burning an effigy of the person that you don't want to be. You're burning an effigy of that person that you're unhappy with. That's what it means, burning the chametz. It's the only shreifa, according to its machlokes, we don't remember, but the pasuk the shreifa, what's the burn? Fasal ruach. This whole attack against chametz, like this. Relentless search for chametz. I'm talking about the people who are keeping Pesach at home and so on, not the ones that just run away from the chametz. I'm talking about the ones who are making a biur of the chametz, making bedikas chametz. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but you know what I'm talking about. The people that just run away from the chametz. It's not a biur. To look for the chametz and to get rid of it is a biur, not that you just prepare 10 pieces to take with you to the hilt. You understand? To make a bedikas chametz, a beer of the chametz, to fall around looking for chametz. That's of course, all of that we have to do lemaisa and halacha. But this the symbol of it, what it means. But the Radbaz said that the pshat of chametz is the etzar. It's not like a remez. The Radbaz says the pshat of chametz is the etzar because he said there's no way to understand how we're so crazy with chametz. Mashahu, and the whole inyan of chametz, what we go with the chametz Pesach. So the Radbaz says that the pshat of chametz is the etzar, not just the symbol of the etzar. It's the pshat. So this whole inyan of chippus, the bedika and shreifa, when you say the hirotzen afterwards, you know, the kol chamir, after that, what are you doing with that? What is that pnimius? And pnimius is that you are claiming yourself and disclaiming the chametz of your life. Efka ka'afadar, zeloani, zeloshali. Needs to be cleaning out, a clarification of who you are. That's what the whole this whole avodah that we're in now. That's what this avodah is. Chippus. It says in the Navi, but the Gemara learns out the beginning of Pesachim that is b'ner because a chabis b'shai b'neris. The Navi walking around Yerushalayim with a candle. Try to imagine Yirmiyahu Navi walking around with a candle, looking for an Elech Yid. Looking at everybody's. If you're one of those Jews in Yerushalayim and Yirmiyahu Navi comes up to you and he holds a candle up and looks in your face and says, "Nah." Chapis Yishalayim, look in Yishalayim with a candle, try to find an Elech Yid. That's the chippus, to look, to search. Because Chofesh, Chayrus can only come from chippus. Chayn lorak b'chippus achan nekudas tayv v'zi yishalayim. So, tzarech lach, so lahazke b'chol chelu b'chelu shel hashav b'anu shayfchem esli b'enu l'fnei Hashem. In addition to the nekudas tovus in our own lives, things that we've done, the things that we hold back from doing because we want to be Jews, we also have to remind ourselves all the time throughout this bogdus, we pour out our hearts l'fnei Hashem, s'chazdei Hashem. We remind ourselves and we thank Hashem for His loving kindness, for putting up with us and giving us these chances. We have to remind ourselves that Hashem is Baruch has tremendous rachmanis and He loves us, and to believe in that, to hope in Hashem, that He's giving us a chance again to look for the chametz and to burn the chametz and to be good. And by reminding ourselves of also about Hashem's love and His tolerance and His patience, that we are able to connect to that toiv amiti of Hashem. The Lo Rak b'Mahalach is about the Yesh and Hakim. Not just talking about during His Bardus. Gamis Hasim Shal Avodis Hamishpat Yesh L'Sayim B'Diburim Shal Tikva. When the same way that when you're laning, you should finish B'Dovah Toiv, right? You don't finish with a bad thing. When you finish the Aliyah with B'Dovah Toiv, you end on a good note, on a happy note. Same thing when it comes to His Bardus, the part of Mishpat where you're judging yourself. When you're making Cheshbon and Nefesh, you should always end on a good note. Don't end on the bad note. You end up with the Nekuda Toiva, with about Hashem's love and the Nekuda Toiva always. That's what he says. Mishpat words of hope, Emunah faith, Hischazkus, L'saimus His Bardus, B'Bakasha, and you ask Hashem. At the end of it, you end this bardus with a bakasha, not something big. You don't walk away from this bardus with the mishpat of all the averus. You walk away with the emunah, chazkas and tikva and bakasha, asking Hashem liskayis limsayis aderech and achayim l'shaberch l'haydis l'Hashem is baruch alis yiziko lovei lovei lishbarch l'fanav sicho. You ask Hashem to help me to find the derech, the way to praise You and to thank You, to be grateful that You give me this chus to come before You and to pour my heart out before You, that I have this chus. Come before You, to be before You. There's no greater chus that a person has than to be able to stand before Hashem is brought. To pour out our heart, to know that Hashem is listening, that Hashem cares. B'Sefer Amidus, as I mentioned before, B'Sefer Amidus, in Rabbi Nachman's Sefer Amidus, Kosev Rabbeinu, there we find that Rabbi Nachman wrote, "Kas ba ayidei is bardus she'enu karoi." One of the causes of anger is if you did his bardus in a way that's not correct. Incorrect his bardus causes anger. But those of you who are familiar with the Sefer Amidus, you know that Rabbi Nachman does not give any sources, and he doesn't explain what is that kas ba ayidei is bardus she'enu karoi. Improper his bardus causes anger. So he writes, "Shemati b'Rabbi Yitzchak, Allah b'Shalom is talking about Rabbi Yitzchak Bender, shebi'ir es kavanas hadvarim b'sofer bruin." Rabbi Yitzchak explains this clearly, and he said the following: "Yosef le'odnim b'zbardus sofun b'chedro v'arich mishpat." The person is doing his bardus hidden in his room or wherever he is, and he does mishpat. In other words, he cries to Hashem about his mistakes, his aveiros, as a mishpat. Yismanzo macharuf megadis is that so? During that time, he's very critical of himself. He's saying horrible things about himself. He's being honest, and he's macharuf megadif. He's saying terrible things about himself. K'moshitzaruch, as he deserves. He's saying some pretty bad things about himself. La'achashagomras diburav who yod say. Now, if he would just end over there, he would leave the room. Kos umar nefesh miached. He'll leave the room, angry and embittered. And oiv avoy la'adam shu pagish. Oiv avoy to the next person that he meets after walking out of such a hisbardus. Oiv avoy. So there are a lot of very, very honest and sincere Jews that are hard on themselves, and they make everybody else miserable. I've known people like that. I've done that, and it's not something that's uncommon at all. when you're angry with yourself. In the Arisat Shuvah we learned years ago that Rav Kook describes the Rishayim, the Bali Averis, as these people are raging against the world. They're angry with everybody. And we know, of course, that the person that they're most angry with is themselves. The Rosh is very angry with himself because he's a Yid. And since he's a Yid, he's not talking about the Rishayim. He's not talking about the other side. So he's a Yid. And since he's a Yid, and he's a Bali Averis, And he's very broken and disappointed inside of himself, even though he can't admit that right now necessarily. So he's angry. He's angry, and he's angry at other people. Generally, it's a klal. There are many, many more immediate things that will trigger anger, that will cause anger. But in general, the klal is that Rav Kook is saying that when you see a Jew who's very angry, it means that he's angry with himself. Primarily angry with himself. Doesn't mean he's angry with everybody else, but the panemius is that he's angry with himself. He's doing things that he's not happy about. He's living a life that he's not happy about. And you're the person that had the misfortune of meeting him and being connected to him when he's feeling so miserable. I just want to finish up Levi Yitzchak's sentence. Why is it your family's fault that you just had this whole session of asbardus where you were killing yourself and saying horrible things about yourself, and now you walk out of the room and you start yelling at everybody? What are they to blame? Why are they? Was then in zayn shuldig? Why are they to be blamed? Why are they guilty? What did they do? They should get beaten up by you because you're angry at yourself. But people do that all the time. So you have to be careful not to do that. Just finished this. Reb Levi Yitzchak, he just says in Yiddish afterwards, Reb Levi Yitzchak Pirish. Reb Levi Yitzchak explained. She has burned the Shein Aruya. So when Reb Nachman says anger is caused by improper Hezbodus, this is what Reb Nachman is teaching. Hezbodus Ruuya, he is Zusha Besoch Kol Ra V'Choshech. Proper Hezbodus is that with all the Ra and all the Choshech, all the darkness, all the bad stuff in your life and things that you've done, why is it Bechipus Mitzias Nekudas Tayavis? You look for the Nekudas Tayavis and you end on a positive note and a hopeful note. Sha'achri Shiroa Shematsova B'kol Ra Yisayim Es Devarav in Dibur Hischazkas. Therefore, if you went through all the bad stuff, you should always end with Diburim, with words of Hischazkas, Amunah, and Tikva, and hope. V'chesed Hashem, and Hashem's love. She'yesh Yenu, that He'll help you and ask Him to help you. V'toyev Enoch and Yos. Yaseim, Bizman Zayakos HaTayav Shepala Yidei Tfilosa, and to try to think also and to remember all the good that you've davened for and that you've received in your life, to strengthen your emunah and your tikva, that Hashem will listen to your tefillah and will answer your tefillah and will help you to be better and to do tshuva, to overcome these problems. This is already written up in different letters from Rav Yitzchak and other tzaddikim. That's why we see that the Seder of the Haggadah, and it's not just stam, nothing is stam. How does all that we just learned connect to the whole Seder when you look in the Mishnayos and Psachim and the Seder of how we say the Haggadah, the Pesach night? How does this all connect to it? Where do you see this in the Haggadah? The Seder in the Mamalosh. Maschil, what? Bignus, Messiah Meshavach. Maschil, Bignus, Messiah Meshavach. That's how the Haggadah begins with what? We're very hard on ourselves. The beginning of the Haggadah is Metchiloi Devon, Zahi of Hussein, all terrible things. We say terrible things. We come from Ayv Devad Azar. But Maschil B'Gnos U'Messayim B'Shevach. But you end B'Shevach. We talk about what we went through and what we've been through, and we explain, like we learned earlier, we went through a hard galus and it brought us down. But by the time we come to the end, we're saying Shevach. We're saying Halal V'Hidat Hashem. We're saying Chad God. We're saying Echad Miyadeh, Echad Ani Yodeh. And we say to Hashem also, an amasla, a little bit of an amasla, that we end the Seder by saying an amasla, like we're learning about what it means to justify or to explain our ways. And we say, Chad Gadyan, look what you put this Gedi through. Chad Gadyan, the Zabad Abba, they say, Zuzay. You took us as your people ever since then. Asa Shunra, Asa Kalba, Asa Chutra, Asa Nura, Asa Machamavis. This is what you put us through. So it's all to say, and then we could say Shir Shir. A person that begins Mascha Begnus Messiah B'Shevach, the biggest Shevach is Shir Shir. A person that doesn't say Shir Shir left out the main topic of the night. You don't say Shir Shir at the end of the Seder. But the whole Seder is Mascha Begnus Messiah B'Shevach. And it's the same way when it comes to this bird, it's Mascha Begnus. Messiah B'Shevach. V'achshav, kevon ha'mokim ha'vadosa. To end the Hasbara, v'achshav. And now, that's how it was before. And now, Echad ani yodea. If I'm such a good Jew, and Echad ani yodea, then how do I explain my poor behavior? So we say, how do I explain my poor behavior? The answer is, Chad Gadya, look what you put us through. It's the Vilna Gaon's parish there, all the different Golias and so on. Look at the Chassam Sofer, the Vilna Gaon, all the tzaddikim talk about this. The Chad Gadya, we see that Basa Shaychet. The whole thing is, until Asakash Baruch, V'shachem Achamavis, all these things that, so I have, in my life, I have a cat, I have a dog, I have a stick, I have a fire. I look at this, my whole life is crazy. Until that day, my life is crazy. So you're asking me, how come it took me such a long time to come to Echad and Yodea? I have problems. Like the little boy said, mentioned by the drush 2 weeks ago, but the little boy who was 6 years old came to my office over here, who wanted to talk to me. I said this by the drush a few weeks ago, so only the ones who were at the drush heard it. And there's this adorable little boy, he just got by mitzvah now, 2 weeks ago. Maishi told his parents he wants to talk to. He said, "I want to talk to Rabbi." Okay, so yeah, I got scared. Maishi wants to talk to me. So Maishi comes to the office. He was maybe 6 or 7, maybe top 7. He comes to the office. So I said this on Shabbos. But now I could. He comes to the office. And I said, "Okay." He sits across the table. I said, "Maishi, what's up?" So he leans back on his chair like this. He puts his yarmulke like this. This little kid. He says to me, "What should I tell you, Rebbe? I have a lot of tzaras." And so he told me, I said, "Maishu, what's your tzaras? What kind of tzaras do you have?" He has the nicest family, the sweetest, most beautiful family. "What's your tzaras?" He said, "Oh, Dominesco, I have all kinds of rules in school. I can't do this, I can't do that. But I used to walk around like, you know, because I have to sit in my chair the whole day. If you leave, you get punished. You have to stay extra." He said, "No, what can I tell you, Rebbe? I have a lot of tzaras." So Maishu, "How can I help you with your tzaras?" He says, "He said, he thought maybe I could talk to this rabbi about it or something." And, you know, whatever. But the way he said it. So at the end of the Seder, so the Jew sits back and he's, "Oh, after the whole Seder, it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're tired and everything and everybody's falling asleep and it's hard. And you just lean back in your chair and you say, oh, what should I tell you, Rishon? I have tzaras. I've got you. The Zabnaba Bisrezuza, what happened with your little Yidi? What I've been through. I've got you. Shunya, Kalba, Chutra, Nura, Maya." And even the Shaykh, the people even felt that. They're not alive to say about themselves getting killed. But there are different ways you could be alive and have gotten killed also. And then there were people in their lives that they loved that were taken from them. So that's how we end. And somehow, after all of that, a Jew was able to put himself together to say, "Ani lo daidi v'daidi li." That's it. Sof kol sof. That's what it means to be a Yid. Mitalis im hakol. I mean, it's the whole schatzkes of maschub leknus Messiah b'shav. Come to the biggest shava of ani lo daidi v'daidi li. Biggest shavach shira shira shalish lim shakeim and nishikos piyu. It's the biggest shavach. Hashem is about to help us that we should teach one. We should be zayicha to be honest and we should be real and the mishpat should be a good mishpat for us and shalach.
Amen.
Amen. Next parak is keep us honest and continue, Mr. Shemesh.